Welcome back into the Abe TL Show. Final hour here on a Sunday. We've already rolled through three, and I still got plenty left to say. Finishing up a discussion that carried over from last segment, we were talking about ways to kind of beat the heat when you're outside. And again, I don't mind being outside and sweating. It's when I don't want to sweat that's bothersome. And so obviously when I'm going for a run, I'm not trying to hold the sweat in. Or if I'm playing ball outside, soccer, whatever, I'm not trying to stop myself from sweating. But when I'm going for a 20-minute dog walk five times a day, I don't need to be drenched in sweat and change shirt five times. And I'm thinking the first step I try is going to be just the wide brim hat and see what sort of impact that has to limit the sweat coming through. I've also got some more suggestions. My buddy Ryan is driving around town right now, and he's listening in. He texted me, and he said the frog tog, which is they're like the cooling towels, right? We've had them for a while. I just don't use them. But he works outdoors. He works on the roofs and stuff sometimes as well. He says frog tog saves him, and you can throw it on the neck. You can throw it top of your head, help provide some shade, but just dip that in some cold water before you head out. And I only need it to last like 20 minutes. I'm only trying to get through a 20-minute walk without showering every time I take the pup out. So I want to welcome Eric Slaughter into the program. He's obviously been with us. And for those of you who don't know, E does a lot of baseball umpiring, and sometimes that's out in the field where it might be a little bit more manageable, but sometimes that's in the plate. Yep. And you got the full set of gear on. And now, I will say this, because I want to be clear. I actually wouldn't mind sweating doing what you do, because to me, that would be part of the gig. You're going to be outside. Yes, it's a job, but also you are, to some extent, getting a physical exertion workout. And so it's a little bit different. Right. It's a little bit different because you're not immediately coming in and be like, oh, I can't believe I just got another shirt. Like, you're obviously out there to sweat along with the duties of the job. So it is a little bit different. Like, my mindset would be different than what it is. But for you, on some of these days, it's getting into the mid to high 90s with the, quote, feels like, which I think is a fake number. The feels like is 102, 103. So yeah. What are your tips and suggestions? Now, again, you're out there. We've had this discussion. Do you shy away from certain colors of umpiring tops?
No, because black, believe it or not, is the preferred color of umpires during the summer. If you watch Major League Baseball, yep, 9 times out of 10, they are in black.
But remember, growing up, all we heard was like, don't wear black, yep, it'll attract the sun.
No, it actually reflects. It actually reflects the sun. And then the bottom line is this, especially with us, and real quick, you know, baseball during the summer, but high school softball has kicked off and had my first game last night. Shouts out to South Cobb and to Douglas County. It was the game I had last night. Great game. And my partner, Dwight. Dwight was behind the plate. Wasn't real hot last night, so it was pretty good. I had the field yesterday, so it was really good. Great game as high school softball season has began. But what I always tell people, and even you, Abe, do you layer when you go out, or do you just wear your one shirt?
If I'm going out just for a dog walk, I'll wear one shirt.
One shirt. So, you know,
I'll sweat through both. I'll tell you right now, if you put me in two shirts, I'll sweat through both of them.
Really? Because when we have on our gear, so like you say, first off, it's all about what you have on underneath. You know, the moisture wicking and the things as you sweat. That turns your sweat into a cooling type effect, you know, you cannot go the inexpensive route. You have to buy the advanced technology, more expensive stuff. It does make a difference. Yeah. If you go out and you buy the Walmart version of the moisture wicking cooling technology, and then you actually go buy the name brand stuff, you're like, yep, I see why it was so much less expensive there and it's a little more expensive. Now, when you're doing it like me as a job where you're getting paid for, it's just a return on your investment. If you're out there, you know, and you're like, well, I need something a little less expensive because I'm jogging, you know, for my own health benefits, try one. Go buy one and you will notice the difference. And if you're only out there for one time, you can use that same one several times in a week if you got to wash it or not, or if you just hang it up like you said. It's really just finding what works for your body. What works for us is when you have the right stuff on over top, your outer layer really stays pretty dry. So,
yeah, I mean, I guess I could keep the outer layer dry, but I'm sweating.
Yeah,
Yeah, I would still have to shower again.
You would still have to shower hang your shirt up. Yeah,
it's not about keeping one shirt dry. You know, it's about keeping me dry.
You know going into it that the shower's coming. You know that's going. And it's no getting around it, Abe. Sorry. And then you made a comment about how I guess it feels different this year.
I don't know.
I know what it is, brother. I hate to be the one to break this news to you.
Don't tell me it's the cicadas.
No.
Okay.
You're getting older, brother. You're getting older.
Yeah, but what's that got to do with it? It's still heat.
The younger you are, less it bothers you.
And by the way, I don't want to hear to an extent, there's that, too. Yeah. I might be slightly less in shape than I was a year ago, working a little bit harder to sweat. You know,
the older you get.
Here's the other thing.
When you was a young whippersnapper, didn't matter to you, man. Didn't matter to you.
Well, I didn't have to impress anyone going to a job not drenched in sweat. Like, I didn't care. Like, back then, you could go to school drenched in sweat, and everyone was like, whatever, man. Who cares? Didn't matter.
True indeed. Yep. Got different things to think about different stuff.
Yeah, different people to impress nowadays. So, anyways, We're going to work our way through it. I'm going to try the hat route first. Maybe, what comes next? The cooling towel or the shaving of the body hair? We'll see. We'll see. So, yeah. We'll work our way through that. All right. I do want to get to a couple of thoughts here. What's been going on nationally. It is a segment called Outside the Perimeter, the top national sports stories, headlines, and topics. We've done a lot of Olympic talk, so this is going to be a non-Olympic version for the most part. So let's go ahead and head OTP.
It may be the ATL show, but it's bigger than just Atlanta. It's time to go outside the perimeter.
Banning the globe.
On the ATL show, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
So we got a couple of things that took place there in baseball last night or over the past couple of days. I guess we'll start here. Mike Trout, his season is now over. Some setbacks with the knee issue, that's going to end it. And Mike Trout, to me, is going to – like, I know we view him as probably going to the Hall of Fame, and, like, we talk about him as, like, one of the all-time greats. He feels like one of the all-time what-ifs, though, at the same time. Like, I think there was going to be a path where Mike Trout stays healthy for the majority of his career and is the best player ever to play the game. I think it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for him to reach those levels now. He's just missed too many years in the prime. But, I mean, he had an opportunity at one point. It looked like he was going to be the best player in the history of baseball. And that's probably gone now. Also, last night, Blake Snell throws his first career no-hitter. Third no-hitter in the majors this season. Second in the last 10 days. If you remember earlier in the season, Ronel Blanco of the Houston Astros threw one. He threw a bucket load of pitches. Just a week and a half ago, July 25th, Dylan Cease threw one. And now Blake Snell, not only did he throw one, but he had a little something for the haters on the backside of that as well. So there you go. I know there's a little bit of weather that's making itself known there in Canton, Ohio. The Pro Football Hall of Fame is supposed to go down today. Dwight Freeney, Devin Hester, Andre Johnson, Julius Peppers, Patrick Willis, Steve McMichael, Randy Gradishar. Of course, we know our own D-Led getting involved there and getting acknowledged as well. So the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2024 with, a couple of real special players. A couple of guys that spent some time here in Atlanta, too. Devin Hester and Dwight Freeney spent a little bit of time here as well. So pretty cool stuff there. Speaking of the NFL, the NFL's ranking of the top 100 players finally came down with, for the first time ever, a receiver at number one, Tyreek Hill. Voted as the number one player in the NFL. I don't know. Eric, you giving me a look. I get it. You're going to say the same thing I would say. Until Mahomes isn't obviously the guy, he's obviously the guy. And right now, he's still obviously the guy.
Yeah, and even with wide receivers, I love Cheetah, but he wouldn't be my number one.
Yeah, and I get that. And there's fit, there's quarterback, there's play calling. That all goes into it as well. From the physical aspect, he's fast, but, you know, can he – different things. But, like
– I just knew you were going to say Justin Jefferson.
No, and I get that. That would be the obvious one. And Jamar Chase can get into that discussion too, and that's fine. But, like, it has to be Mahomes. Like, what are we doing? It has to be Patrick Mahomes. It's his league until it isn't. Is Justin Fields QB1 now? Is Justin Fields QB1 for Pittsburgh? Russell Wilson broke the number one rule. Do not open the door. Well, he opened the door, and Justin Fields has come in and thrown like, and I know it's practice and camp, whatever. He's thrown like 35 touchdowns and two interceptions so far. And he's getting rave reviews, and big mistake from Russell Wilson. And I don't know if he can get that job back. Or at the very least, it was not a competition, and now it is. I don't know if he's going to get that job back. And what does that mean? He obviously, he could get traded. A lot of guys could get traded off of that squad. So we'll see. But very interesting, especially because week one of those guys is going to be starting for the Steelers right here in Atlanta. Whether it's going to be Russell Wilson, whether it's going to be Justin Fields, we still await. Obviously, Justin Fields did some damage against the Atlanta Falcons a year ago. So we'll see how that plays out. And then final quick note here on Outside the Perimeter. The Big Ten graphic package has been debuted there as they go across the country showcasing Big Ten country. And, they start in the Pacific Northwest, and then they slide down the coast to UCLA and USC before moving eastwards to Nebraska and the rest of the Big Ten. But certainly, if it wasn't football season before, the debut of the graphics package featuring all the Big Ten schools made itself known. So there you go. All right, that's going to do it for Outside the Perimeter. When we come back, 10 days ago or whenever it was, I had my list of Falcons questions I'd like to see answered at training camp. Well, we got about 10 days of training camp already in the bag. So have they been answered? Let's go through it. Let's figure it out together, and let's see maybe what could be answered this week, either with the joint scrimmage in Miami or the first preseason game. We'll talk our way through it in about 5 minutes. It's Abe Gordon here live from the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Welcome in. Welcome back to the Abe TL Show. Final 40 minutes here. And the evening session in Paris of track and field is now underway. Sha'Carri Richardson will take to the track maybe about a half hour from now or so in the semifinals of the women's 100 meters. And then to end the evening session in Paris, they're going to be holding the finals. And so she's got the two races to run and needs to win the last one, but she obviously wants to do well and ideally would like to win the semifinal as well, but most importantly, just advance to the finals and see what can happen. Remember, in Budapest last year, she won the world championship in the 100 from the outside lane. I don't remember if they did 8 or 9, but she won from whichever was the farthest left lane. So winning and being the number one seed, being in the middle of the track, not necessarily the most important thing in the world. Just getting to the final is. And certainly Sha'Carri Richardson is going to be one of the favorites in that one. So we'll see how that plays out in about 30 minutes. But keeping an eye on a couple of other things, including Ryan Crouser, hoping to wrap up his third straight Olympic gold medal in the shot put. And Joe Kovacs is going to have a little something to say about that as well. So we'll see how that goes. But keeping an eye on all that is track and field. Swimming, obviously the evening session at the pool is going to start. And that one starts about 2:30 Eastern time. So we'll keep an eye there. And the U.S. women's 3-on-3 team right now, they're in action against, it looks like, China, perhaps. And been a rough go for the U.S. 3x3, if you will, both men's and women's. And women's having a little bit more success than the men's squad. But I would have thought they were favorites, and that certainly does not seem to be the case. And for the men, it's unforgivable. You got to have better players. Like, what are we doing? How do we not have multiple NBAers on this squad? And I know 3v3 is a slightly different game than the regular 5-on-5, but come on. Canyon Berry, Jimmer Fredette, Maddox. Like, what are nothing against those guys. But come on, man. We're trying to win gold medals here. Like, if it's easy, it's easy. So be it. But make it easy. What are we doing? Anyways, the Atlanta Falcons, we're going to be back at training camp on Monday. We'll have the full array of shows there. We'll kick things off with the morning shift, followed by the Steakhouse. Andy and Randy all going to be live from the Ticketmaster Studios there at Flowery Branch. And then, of course, Dukes and Bell at the Hooters at the Mall of Georgia. But going to be last day of live coverage this week from Flowery Branch, because the Atlanta Falcons are going to head south to Miami for a couple of joint practices before Friday night's preseason game. So got some interesting action. Unfortunately, going to be a little less coverage, I would say, down there in Miami. But we'll rely on some of the Falcons beat reporters who are going down there, and certainly I'll be relying on guys like Joe Shad and some of the Miami Dolphins beat reporters as well to get a feel for what's going on down there. I have 7, 8, 9, somewhere in there, questions that I had leading into training camp, and that was part of my training camp preview. What are we looking for? That sort of thing. I want to revisit them, and let's go back and see which ones maybe have or have not been answered. And let's start with it here. How active is Kirk Cousins going to be? How limited is he? Are his throws affected at all? That, to me, has been answered. And, look, I know there's like a full speed thing we're maybe still waiting to see, and there's obviously you'll have to see him take contact. He took a little bit of that yesterday at the practice, but he looks great. His throws are right where they need to be. He's doing everything you would think he's being asked to do. Maybe he's not a full sprint on rollouts and bootlegs, but he is looking strong. The health of Kirk Cousins, and look, obviously he's got to be tackled. He's got to take hits, all of that stuff. That'll come. But in terms of like my confidence meter based on how much it could rise to, right? Because they were never going to let him take contact and all this stuff. Like, I'm as comfortable as I probably can be with what we've seen. I'm as comfortable as can realistically be expected. How does Michael Penix look? And are the fans able to fight the urge to invent a quarterback controversy? Obviously, that can change depending on how he looks in preseason games. Michael Penix has been, I would say, inconsistent. Inconsistent. He's had I won't want to say it's an issue. He's gotten off to some slow starts in practices, and then he really dials it in and ramps up. And you can see what's there. I'm not trying to tell you it's not there. I'm trying to tell you it takes him a little moment to get going, and that's all. We saw that last night as well. He was under 500 on the completion percentage, but I think that's because he missed like 5 of his first 6 or 6 of his first 7, and he really started to ramp it up after that, and he really started to find some nice connections. So it's there. The arm is there. It's just going to take him a little bit of while to adjust to the league, and that's expected. He is still a rookie, believe it or not. But I don't think we're going to get this controversy push for playtime nonsense, even if the Falcons have a little bit of trouble at the start of the Falcons season this year, which I think is kind of expected, if we're going to be honest. Let's not go there. Let's be smart. Kyle Pitts, where is he being lined up? We've heard about wide receiver and tight end, but how much? To me, it looked like he's been with their tight ends a lot more than receivers. But, again, they're not showing you a ton in-game. That could change. I don't think Zach Robinson's going to be tipping his hand too much in practice as to where Kyle Pitts is going to be lined up. How often is Bijan being sent out on routes as opposed to just being a check down? Again, tough to tell in practice. They're not going to showcase the entirety of their offense. Who was the second cornerback opposite A.J. Terrell? And who's the safety opposite Jesse Bates? Look, Clark Phillips has played well, but it looks like it's Mike Hughes right now. It looks like it's Mike Hughes right now running with the first team defense. Clark Phillips subbed in there a couple of times as well. But Mike Hughes, and look, they're probably going to be using both of them quite a bit when they go into a 5-DB set. But it looks like Mike Hughes is being given the shot right now. DeMarco Helms, Richie Grant are really fighting it out for safety. They're both actually playing quite well, again, in practice. How much work is this team doing on the new kickoff format? Honestly, not as much as I would have thought. We saw it the first day of practice. I thought maybe – I didn't see any of it yesterday at the open practice, especially considering we had gone through the Hall of Fame game. We had a little bit of evidence of it on tape, how it might look in the NFL. We did not do any of that on Friday night. So a little bit of time on it throughout the week of training camp, but not as much as I would have thought. And then Grady Jarrett, how does he look in his return from injury? Pretty darn good. Pretty darn good. There's, you know, if there, you know, I had more of a question. I'm just speaking for me personally. I probably had more of a question about Grady Jarrett and what level he'd be able to return to than I did about Kirk Cousins. But he's looking strong as well. In terms of some of the rookies and the defensive players up front, they're having their impact, and they're obviously limited in practice and what they can do, because you're not allowed to have some of the contact that, as a defensive player, you're required to have. So, look, Ruka Rororo got in on a sack yesterday. J.D. Bertrand got in on a pair of sacks yesterday. Braylon Trice has been a menace. I know he forced a holding call during practice yesterday. So some of the young guys up front are having and answering a couple of questions, and we're going to need to see it. And for as much as we make out the idea of the starters not playing in preseason games, we are going to see those young guys. We are going to see Braylon Trice and Bertrand and Dorlis and those sorts of guys. They're going to get it going, not just in the joint scrimmage there, but certainly also against the Miami Dolphins on Friday night in the preseason game. So I'm looking forward to that as well. Again, track and field is underway today in Paris. They're running a couple of repechage rounds there of the 1500. That's something new that the Olympics has instituted this year. In previous years, you would have you know, your top three finishers and then the three fastest. I think we've seen that in swimming as well. But in every race except for the 100, they're having repechage rounds, which is essentially a second chance or a lucky loser, if you will. And so if you did not qualify in the qualifying heats, you get placed into this extra race. You have to run the distance again, and then you could qualify still for the semifinals. And so we're watching the second of the men's 1500. And look, in general, you wouldn't think too many of these guys are going to be realistic challengers for the title. But it does maybe give you a little bit of an opportunity for a mistake, I guess. Certainly in some of these longer distances, maybe tactically, if you screwed it up, you can run it a little bit differently. But most of these guys, you wouldn't imagine, are the ones who are truly threats to come into a podium spot. The U.S. men's basketball team handled their business today. They took care of Puerto Rico. They go 3-0 in the group stage game. And so congratulations to them. Kevin Durant became the USA's all-time leading rebounder in his Olympic career. And he was able to get that done today. He was already the most points scored in an Olympic career. So congrats there to Kevin Durant. Again, we're maybe 18 or 20 minutes away from Sha'Carri Richardson in the 100-meter dash semifinals. Obviously, the finals are going to be run a little bit later today, but they are both the semis and the finals in the session today. I woke up early this morning. I got my alarm set for 4 a.m. for tomorrow as well. I'm ready to roll with the track and field in the morning. But I woke up early today to check out the men's 100-meter qualifying heats. And among those running was Noah Lyles, who looked human, if we want to call it what it is. So he finished second in his heat. He did not get off to a great start. He didn't really display the sort of closing speed we've seen from him before. And quite frankly, and I don't know if this is the truth or it's just something he's telling himself, he said he did not respect, essentially, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, he said he didn't take the competitors in his heat seriously, and that was obviously a mistake. And he's got a very, very difficult – I mean, look, all of the qualifying heats at this point are very difficult, the semifinal, but it's going to be a reel. And, look, I think Sha'Carri Richardson's in the same semi as Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce, and those are two gals who both could win the gold, so we'll keep an eye on that. But Noah Lyles is going to have to be better. The men's 100 semifinals are going to take place tomorrow, so we'll keep an eye on that. But definitely looking forward to Sha'Carri Richardson here in the next 20 minutes, trying to book her ticket to the finals of the 100 meters. All right, when we come back, I know my man Chris Thomas is rolling around out there. Going to bring him in, chat about a couple of things, a little bit of crosstalk, some thoughts on the Falcons, some thoughts on the Braves. Kind of find out what he's getting into as well. We'll keep an eye on the Olympics. If there's anything else to update you as well, we will do that. That's what's coming up here on the Abe TL Show. We'll be back in about 5 or 6 minutes and wrap things up. I know we've got an Olympic update coming at the top of the hour as well. Again, Atlanta United, they're playing tomorrow in Leagues Cup action, so I'm going to have a little bit of coverage for you on that one tomorrow, but I'll also be on before that. So I got another edition of the Abe TL Show coming to you live tomorrow from 1 to 3. Then we got the Five Stripes Countdown at 3 o'clock, and then we've got the actual call of the Leagues Cup against Santos right there at 4 o'clock. So coming up next, we will put a bow on today's show and welcome Chris Thomas Turtle into the program on the other side. It's Abe Gordon here, live from the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Welcome back into the Abe TL Show. Final couple of minutes here before we wrap things off and hand it over to Chris Turtle Thomas. Atlanta Braves action a little bit later today. Grant Holmes getting a second opportunity to start. And I don't know if you'd do that if it was against the Phillies, but it is the Marlins. And so, look, he was very good in his five innings in his first start for the Braves. And so why not? You're obviously feeling like you don't necessarily need to rush Max Fried and Ronaldo Lopez back from their injury situations, and we'll probably see one of them pretty soon, if not both of them. But the Braves are playing good ball, and they somehow chopped 4.5 games off of the Phillies' lead in the span of 6 days, 5 days, and so we're keeping an eye on things. And I don't know what the difference is, but they seem to have turned a corner. I refuse to accept that it's because Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson are back in the fold. But something has changed for the Atlanta Braves. Maybe it's only a short term when we go back to being frustrated when a pitcher goes 8 innings, 1 run, then we lose the game after being shut out again. So we'll keep an eye on that. Matt Olson certainly starting to heat up, and that's part of it. We got Olympic action going on. We've talked about it, getting ready for Sha'Carri Richardson in probably just over 10 minutes running in her semifinal heat of the women's 100 meter. But we've also got the men's shot put final is underway, and Joe Kovac just got off to a good start. And there was some early thought that there's potential of a gold, silver, bronze medal sweep for the U.S. men's. Again, Kovac is probably the silver medal favorite, with Ryan Crouser being a gold medal favorite, and then we'll see how it lines up in bronze. But anything can happen. I mean, you got to bring it, and you got to toss it out there. There's no doubt about that. Chris Thomas is in here. He's not as excited about watching the javelin in the men's decathlon as I am. I think I missed the pole vault, but that's all right. Chris, I mean, you were at the practice yesterday. You were there at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I mean, I've been talking about it all day. What we saw on the field was one thing, but, and I was talking about it last night too after you guys left, the energy from Falcons fans, and more so just the general positivity during, but certainly after the practice, was very evident. I mean, there's a good feeling around this team right now. All that can change week one. I think we have to keep that in mind and understand that. Everyone looks good in shorts, right? But just feels like there's something going on there at Mercedes-Benz Stadium last night.
All right. Let's
too much?
No.
Well, I'm not saying it's going to correlate to anything with a team.
No.
But I mean, from the fans.
Everything you said is fine. That's not what I'm talking about. So we'll get to that because we got 8 minutes here or so. Holy crap, Abe.
What?
I was listening, as I always do, throughout the morning, sporadically, as I'm cleaning the apartment, making breakfast, taking care of Rafa, the cat, doing all the things.
Little man getting action.
Every time I turned back on the radio station, you were breaking down.
Which event?
A minute, like the you were raging on about the surfing event because the wavelengths weren't equivalent for all the
competitors. Well, I think it's unfair.
And then I turn back on again, and you're breaking down pommel horses, and you're breaking down Chang's for Simone Biles.
That was a vault, yeah.
And I mean, you really love these Olympics, huh?
Yeah, but here's the thing, like. I watch shot put and track and field all the time, like quite often, Diamond League and all sorts of like European track meets. Like, this is not new to me. Like, that's the thing. Like I know Mike Bell was talking about it last night. So many people come into this every 4 years, and I totally understand that, and I have no problem with that. But like the events that I'm into. And track and field is like among the highest ones up there.
Well, let's make no mistake about it. You're into every single one of them.
I am.
A lot. Like, but way more than most people.
But like fencing, I'm into. I've watched a lot of fencing. I watch a lot of fencing every time the Olympics come around. I don't watch a lot of fencing outside of the Olympics, though. Yeah. But I knew I was going to watch it when it came.
Right.
Track and field, I watch a lot of outside of Olympics. That's one of the few Olympic sports where I really watch a lot of. As Ryan Crowser tosses one out there, probably puts him in first place. I don't know, his first toss of the shot put might be the gold medal winner.
Are you listening to yourself?
It's Ryan Crowser, man. He's been like the most dominant force in. Like, you know what Katie Ledecky is to swimming, the 1500? Like, you know where you saw, like, all the top 20
right.
times?
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
what
yeah.
Ryan Crowser has been for the most part. We're like, the top, like, 12 throws in history have all been him.
But I think you're the only one this side of France right now that knows that.
No, I'm not alone. I know what you mean. But, like, I'm not the only one. I'm not the most passionate person in this country about track.
What? Well, you might be.
I'm not. Trust me. Even I've had to ask questions and search out answers. I just really love the Olympics. I really do. I think it spotlights so many great athletes that just don't get spotlighted for a variety of reasons. I'm not saying any of these guys can do what LeBron James can do. But there are so many other stories of success and drive in the sports that don't make money. And I think it's really important for the athletics world, but certainly those of us in America to appreciate our athletes who do this on a daily basis without the benefit of, if I do this well, I get $180 million guaranteed.
Sure. I just found it fascinating that you were breaking down swimming like it was the Falcons making the NFC Championship game.
Well, one of those things is happening this year. One of them, swimming, is
all
happening.
All right, the other thing I needed to get to before I talk about the Falcons. Like, dude.
What's up?
It's the summer.
Yeah, no.
You're going to sweat. Like,
How do I sweat less?
I just walked here from my apartment. I'm sweating.
Yeah.
Like,
I was going to ask you, because I know you're dealing with it. What are your tips and tricks?
I don't have any.
Deal with the sweat.
You can't. Like, we're out there. The sun is literally beating on our back.
Now, I'm on the precipice here of considering a shaving of the chest. Have you considered this?
Oh, Abe, I've been down. When I was young and vain and cared about those sorts of things, I've gone down that road before with a razor. I've done the Nair hair removal. Dude, it is such a process.
Does that stuff burn?
It hurts like a...
The body cream hair remover
stuff?
It
like a mother blanker.
It burns? Yeah.
Yes. Because it's seeping the hair follicles from your...
I don't know how it works.
From your back, but
if I were going to, I'd just take the body trimmer or whatever.
Abe, Don't shave your chest.
I'm probably not going to.
I didn't. And second of all,
I didn't shut it down entirely. I said probably.
Nobody needed to hear that today.
Hey man,
if we're being honest,
we're talking about all of the possibilities.
I know we're on the therapy couch and it's radio and it's a personal medium, but I'm sitting there scrambling my eggs this morning and I'm hearing you talking about shaving your chest.
Hey, I'm just saying, if I can connect with anyone else, don't be ashamed. If you want to shave your chest, then do it.
No, I mean, listen,
no problem.
You know,
there's other people out there considering the same things I am.
There's a lot of
men. Do
you
think it would help me sweat less if I were to shave my chest? And
maybe a little.
Well.
But, like, in terms, like, you're trying to find a fix-all for a problem that doesn't have one. There is no fix-all. You're going to sweat.
You know what the fix-all is? Not having the dog.
No, you know what the fix-all is?
I wouldn't be outside.
You know what the fix-all is, Abe? Move. Because it's not changing here anytime soon.
I will say this. I think I would rather deal with the heat in summer than the cold in winter.
Well, then just deal with it, right?
I am dealing with it, but that doesn't mean you can't take any steps.
I mean, you really think putting a little towel around your neck is going to stop you from sweating?
You want to go back into my replies? Yeah, a lot of people think that.
I know, but like...
Dip the hat in water before you go out, sir. That's what I've been told.
Yeah, it's not going to stop you from getting to the point where you would need to either change your shirt or take a shower. It's not that much of a difference. Come on, Abe.
The shirt thing's a problem. I have to do laundry so much more often nowadays.
Welcome to summer in Georgia. Why am I the one who's been here for 3 years telling you this?
2 years ago, it wasn't a problem. I still sweat. But it feels like, I know E was like, you're just old, Abe. I'm like, calm down.
I don't think it has anything to do with age. It's hot.
It's hot, man.
I mean, it's hot all over the place. Like, if you haven't noticed, the world's pretty hot right now. Not to get political on you.
It is. Luckily, in Paris, it's a relative decent climate for the track. Because
you always find a way to bring it back.
Well, we have to wrap up the discussion as the women's 100 semis are getting going. Sha'Carri Richards is not in this first one, but there is an American. We'll keep an eye on this a little bit. And so... we got about 3 minutes, an opportunity. I know you won't go quite as deep into what's going on, the finals of the 800 free for Katie Ledecky today. I'll make sure to change the channel for you before I leave. But outside of that and intense coverage of Sha'Carri Richardson's semifinal run, what else is coming on the other side of the glass today?
I have exactly one segment dedicated to the Olympics today, and it is not
breaking down
to
your frustrations with the surfing scoring.
No, it is to talk with our buddy Caleb Johnson about the men's and women's basketball team, because I have a couple
five on five or 3-on-3.
See,
what are we doing?
I know. I heard
what are they doing?
About Jimmer Fredette and the whole thing. Abe,
how can we not clean up?
Who cares?
How is Jaylen Brown not on that squad?
Who cares?
I do. I care.
I know you do.
I want to win gold medals, man.
My God. I mean, listen, man. What I want to know is, since when did logging minutes become a thing in basketball? Why are we all of a sudden scoreboard watching about who plays when?
They're undefeated, right?
Yeah, who the hell cares?
They're undefeated?
Yeah, that's my
point.
That's
all I care about.
Me too.
I know. And I'm with you. I'm with you. I see where you're headed. Just win games, man.
Yeah.
That's why I'd be talking about 3-on-3 team, because they can't do that. Can't win games.
Oh, my God. And then the topic that we'll touch on throughout the show is the best version of the Atlanta Falcons offense runs through who or what this season? Because I think you can argue a couple of different answers. Because while I do think the ball will be spread out pretty well, I do think one person needs to have a dominant performance this year. In order for if we're talking about 26, 27 points a game, the offense will need to run through this person.
Kirk Cousins.
No.
Every play, ball in his hands.
That's the obvious
answer.
But that's not the answer I'm going with.
Okay.
If you want to argue that point, I'll open up the phones and you can argue it. But that's like saying, you know, the sky is blue.
I've talked with you and I'll give you my answer off air. I've talked to you. I've got renegade answers for this that you know, you'd be like, what a cop out.
You're going to go Ray McLeod on us?
No.
Here?
No, of course not. That's all. I'll tell you off air. You got 20 seconds and you'll have to wait and find out. Any Braves chatter for you?
We're going to save that for tomorrow.
I'm saving some of that, too.
Yeah. I felt
like they better win tonight, or it kind of messes with my ideas for tomorrow.
Kind of felt like a Sunday topic to me for the Braves. Like, you know, we had the practice last night for the Falcons. We'll talk about that. So it was a good atmosphere last night. I will say that. And shout out to the Falcons. They hooked us up with a lot of free food.
$20 worth, to be exact.
It's
sweet. Welcome back into the Abe TL Show. Final couple of minutes here before we wrap things off and hand it over to Chris Turtle Thomas. Atlanta Braves action a little bit later today. Grant Holmes getting a second opportunity to start, and I don't know if you'd do that if it was against the Phillies, but it is the Marlins. And so, look, he was very good in his five innings in his first start for the Braves, and so why not? You're obviously feeling like you don't necessarily need to rush Max Fried and Ronaldo Lopez back from their injury situations, and we'll probably see one of them pretty soon, if not both of them. But the Braves are playing good ball, and they somehow chopped 4.5 games off of the Phillies' lead in the span of 6 days, 5 days. And so we're keeping an eye on things. And I don't know what the difference is, but they seem to have turned a corner. I refuse to accept that it's because Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson are back in the fold. But something has changed for the Atlanta Braves. Maybe it's only a short term when we go back to being frustrated when a pitcher goes 8 innings, 1 run, then we lose the game after being shut out again. So we'll keep an eye on that. Matt Olson certainly starting to heat up, and that's part of it. We got Olympic action going on. We've talked about it, getting ready for Sha'Carri Richardson in probably just over 10 minutes running in her semifinal heat of the women's 100 meter. But we've also got the men's shot put final is underway, and Joe Kovac just got off to a good start, and there was some early thought that there's potential of a gold, silver, bronze medal sweep for the U.S. men's. Again, Kovac is probably the silver medal favorite, with Ryan Crouser being a gold medal favorite, and then we'll see how it lines up in bronze. But anything can happen. I mean, you got to bring it, and you got to toss it out there. There's no doubt about that. Chris Thomas is in here. He's not as excited about watching the javelin in the men's decathlon as I am. I think I missed the pole vault, but that's all right. Chris, I mean, you were at the practice yesterday. You were there at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I mean, I've been talking about it all day. What we saw on the field was one thing, but and I was talking about it last night, too, after you guys left. The energy from Falcons fans, and more so just the general positivity during, but certainly after the practice, was very evident. I mean, there's a good feeling around this team right now. All that can change week one. I think we have to keep that in mind and understand that. Everyone looks good in shorts, right? But just feels like there's something going on there at Mercedes-Benz Stadium last night.
All right. Let's
too much?
No. Well,
I'm not saying it's going to correlate to anything with the team.
No.
But I mean, from the fans.
Everything you said is fine. That's not what I'm talking about. So we'll get to that because we got 8 minutes here or so. Holy crap, Abe.
What?
I was listening, as I always do, throughout the morning, sporadically, as I'm cleaning the apartment, making breakfast, taking care of Rafa, the cat, doing all the things.
Little man getting action.
Every time I turned back on the radio station, you were breaking down.
Which event?
A minute, like the you were raging on about the surfing event because the wavelengths weren't equivalent for all the
competitors. Well, I think it's unfair.
And then I turned back on again, and you're breaking down pommel horses, and you're breaking down Chang's for Simone Biles.
That was a vault, yeah.
And I mean, you really love these Olympics, huh?
Yeah, but here's the thing, like, I watch shot put and track and field all the time, like quite often, Diamond League and all sorts of like European track meets. Like, this is not new to me. Like, that's the thing. Like I know Mike Bell was talking about it last night. So many people come into this every 4 years, and I totally understand that, and I have no problem with that. But like, the events that I'm into, and track and field is like among the highest ones up there.
Well, let's make no mistake about it. You're into every single one of them.
I am.
A lot. Like, but way more than most people.
But, like, fencing I'm into. I've watched a lot of fencing. I watch a lot of fencing every time the Olympics come around. I don't watch a lot of fencing outside of the Olympics, though. Yeah. But I knew I was going to watch it when it came.
Right.
Track and field, I watch a lot of outside of Olympics. That's one of the few Olympic sports where I really watch a lot of. as Ryan Crowser tosses one out there, probably puts him in first place. I don't know, his first toss of the shot put might be the gold medal winner.
Are you listening to yourself?
It's Ryan Crowser, man. He's been like the most dominant force in. Like, you know what Katie Ledecky is to swimming, the 1500? Like, you know where you saw like all the top 20
right.
times?
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
what
yeah.
Ryan Crowser has been for the most part. We're like the top like 12 throws in history have all been him.
But I think you're the only one this side of France right now that knows that.
No, I'm not alone. I know what you mean, but like, I'm not the only one. I'm not the most passionate person in this country about track.
What? Well, you might be.
I'm not. Trust me. Even I've had to ask questions and search out answers. I just really love the Olympics. I really do. I think it spotlights so many great athletes that just don't get spotlighted for a variety of reasons. I'm not saying any of these guys can do what LeBron James can do, but there are so many other stories of success and drive in the sports that don't make money. And I think it's really important for the athletics world, but certainly those of us in America to appreciate our athletes who do this on a daily basis without the benefit of, if I do this well, I get $180 million guaranteed.
Sure. I just found it fascinating that you were breaking down swimming like it was the Falcons making the NFC Championship game.
Well, one of those things is happening this year. One of them, swimming, is
all
happening.
Right. The other thing I needed to get to before I talk about the Falcons, like, dude.
What's up?
It's the summer.
Yeah, no.
You're going to sweat. Like,
How do I sweat less?
I just walked here from my apartment. I'm sweating.
Yeah.
Like,
I was going to ask you, because I know you're dealing with it. What are your tips and tricks?
I don't have any.
Deal with the sweat.
You can't. Like, we're out there. The sun is literally beating on our back.
Now, I'm on the precipice here of considering a shaving of the chest. Have you considered this?
Oh, Abe, I've been down. When I was young and vain and cared about those sorts of things, I've gone down that road before with a razor. I've done the Nair hair removal. Dude, it is such a process.
Does that stuff burn?
It hurts like
the body cream hair remover
stuff?
It's
like a mother blanker. Yeah.
It burns? Yeah.
Yes. Because it's seeping the hair follicles from your...
I don't know how it works.
From
but
your
I,
back, but...
If Abe, I were going to, I'd just take the body trimmer or whatever.
Abe, don't shave your chest.
I'm probably not going to.
I didn't... And second of all...
I didn't shut it down entirely. I said probably.
Nobody needed to hear that today.
Hey, man.
If we're being honest.
We're talking about all of the possibilities.
I know we're on the therapy couch, and it's radio, and it's a personal medium, but I'm sitting there scrambling my eggs this morning, and I'm hearing you talking about shaving your chest.
Hey, I'm just saying, if I can connect with anyone else, don't be ashamed. If you want to shave your chest, then do it.
No, I mean, listen.
No problem.
You know,
there's other people out there considering the same things I am.
There's a lot of
men. Do
you
think it would help me sweat less if I were to shave my chest? And
maybe a little.
Well,
but like in terms, like you're trying to find a fix-all for a problem that doesn't have one. There is no fix-all. You're going to sweat.
You know what the fix-all is? Not having the dog.
No, you know what the fix-all is?
I wouldn't be outside.
You know what the fix-all is, Abe? Move. Because it's not changing here anytime soon.
I will say this. I think I would rather deal with the heat in summer than the cold in winter.
Well, then just deal with it, right?
I am dealing with it, but that doesn't mean you can't take any steps.
I mean, you really think putting a little towel around your neck is going to stop you from sweating?
You want to go back into my replies? Yeah, a lot of people think that.
I know, but like...
Dip the hat in water before you go out, sir. That's what I've been told.
Yeah, it's not going to stop you from getting to the point where you would need to either change your shirt or take a shower. It's not that much of a difference. Come on, Abe.
The shirt thing's a problem. I have to do laundry so much more often nowadays.
Welcome to summer in Georgia. Why am I the one who's been here for 3 years telling you this?
2 years ago, it wasn't a problem. I still sweat. But it feels like, I know E was like, you're just the old Abe. I'm like, calm down.
I don't think it has anything to do with age. It's hot.
It's hot, man.
I mean, it's hot all over the place. Like, if you haven't noticed, the world's pretty hot right now. Not to get political on you.
It is. Luckily, in Paris, it's a relative decent climate for the track. Because
you always find a way to bring it back.
Well, we have to wrap up the discussion as the women's 100 semis are getting going. Sha'Carri Richards is not in this first one, but there is an American. We'll keep an eye on this a little bit. And so... we got about 3 minutes, an opportunity. I know you won't go quite as deep into what's going on, the finals of the 800 free for Katie Ledecky today. I'll make sure to change the channel for you before I leave. But outside of that and intense coverage of Sha'Carri Richardson's semifinal run. What else is coming on the other side of the glass today?
I have exactly one segment dedicated to the Olympics today, and it is not
frustrations with the surfing scoring.
No, it is to talk with our buddy Caleb Johnson about the men's and women's basketball team, because I have a couple
five on five or 3-on-3.
See, again,
come on, what are we doing?
I know, I heard what are they doing about Jimmer Fredette and the whole thing. Abe,
how can we not clean up?
Who cares?
How is Jaylen Brown not on that squad?
Who cares?
I do. I care.
I know you do.
I want to win gold medals, man.
My God. I mean, listen, man. What I want to know is, since when did logging minutes become a thing in basketball? Why are we all of a sudden scoreboard watching about who plays when?
They're undefeated, right?
Yeah, who the hell cares?
They're undefeated?
Yeah, that's my
point. All I care about.
Me too.
I know. And I'm with you. I'm with you. I see where you're headed. Just win games, man.
Yeah.
That's why I'd be talking about 3-on-3 team, because they can't do that. Can't win games.
Oh, my God. And then the topic that we'll touch on throughout the show is the best version of the Atlanta Falcons offense runs through who or what this season? Because I think you can argue a couple of different answers. Because while I do think the ball will be spread out pretty well, I do think one person needs to have a dominant performance this year. In order for if we're talking about 26, 27 points a game, the offense will need to run through this person.
Kirk Cousins.
No.
Every play, ball in his hands.
That's the obvious
answer.
But that's not the answer I'm going with.
Okay.
If you want to argue that point, I'll open up the phones and you can argue it. But that's like saying, you know, the sky is blue.
I've talked with you, and I'll give you my answer off air. I've talked to you. I've got renegade answers for this that you know, you'd be like, what a cop out.
You're going to go Ray McLeod on us?
No.
Here?
No, of course not. That's all. I'll tell you off air. You got 20 seconds, and you have to wait and find out. Any Braves chatter for you?
We're going to save that for tomorrow.
I'm saving some of that, too.
Yeah. I felt
and they better win tonight, or it kind of messes with my ideas for tomorrow.
Kind of felt like a Sunday topic to me for the Braves. Like, you know, we had the practice last night for the Falcons. We'll talk about that. So it was a good atmosphere last night. I will say that. And shout out to the Falcons. They hooked us up with a lot of free food.
$20 worth, to be exact.
It's
$40. They brought two of those platters.
That's a lot.
All right, that's going to do it here for the Abe TL Show. As you just heard, we got Chris Turtle Thomas coming up next. When are you? 2 to 5? 2 to 6?
Full 4.
2 to 6. So there you go. That's what's coming up next here on 92.9 The Game. I'm going to be back with you tomorrow, 1 to 3, leading into Atlanta United coverage. So keep it locked, though. Chris will have you covered for the rest of the afternoon. All Olympics, all the time. On the other side of the glass on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.